Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
But it's also a question of reality, that if you believe in something wholeheartedly, how far is that belief from the reality?
Yeah, and when does it become that? I actually have a quote on my wall. Everything to be true must become a religion, and it's by Oscar Wilde. I really believe that that's the case. You know, it has to be, and not religion in the sense that it's got a Bible to it, but religion in the sense that it's practiced. When you begin to practice a certain way of being, or you practice a behavior, or you practice something, you can practice something into existence. And it's both, I think, a physical and non-physical action. But, you know, I think this is kind of a good example of that happening. You know, you put something into it over and over and over again, and all of a sudden, you know, lo and behold, you've got something that you're now working with. And yeah, it's just pretty wild.
Well, speaking of wild, there's a film from 1980 called Somewhere in Time, where Christopher Reeve plays a writer, and he falls in love with a photo of this beautiful woman, and he wills himself to go back in time where he meets her. Okay? Somewhere in time. All right? So we think about that for a moment. Jane Seymour played the woman, by the way. And what breaks the spell after he goes back is he looks at his watch, a brand new fancy watch, and that breaks the spell, and he's returned back to his old time. And it's done in such a sad way that you really want him to go back in time and find his lost love again. But that's where this concept is brought to fore in a sci-fi fantasy film, where the belief became the reality.
Yeah. Perfect example.
I think belief has gotten kind of a bad rap from the skeptics and the people who are just too much, like, just give me the facts, man. Like, if I can't measure it, it doesn't exist. There's just more to life and our existence than that. I've been working on a introduction to one of my songs, trying to figure it out. And for me, it's kind of complex. For somebody who really knows how to play the piano, it's probably really elementary. But for me, it's kind of complex to do. And if I try to think it through, it doesn't work. It starts to mess me up. And then I have a hard time actually getting to the point where I can. And what I have to do to get to the point where I can is get to the point where I believe I can and not think it through. And then I can do it again. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense to our listeners out there, but I'm sure that at least to a few musicians out there that have experienced this phenomenon, you can't always do things by thinking it through. You have to believe you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've found this the exact same thing myself, especially with the arts. I think the arts are such a prime example of exactly this, because the arts require not only that the belief that you can do it, but that belief puts you into a state of allowing that lets whatever you've got preventing you from performing or from learning that new thing or whatever it is, it allows us to let that go. And the arts are so much about that intuition, that flow. And I mean, as much as it is about knowing the instrument or knowing the skill and learning the skill and whatever, if you get too wrapped up in that, everything comes to an absolute grinding halt, and you might be able to do the thing on a technical level, but it's not going to be at the same level if you were a little bit more in tune with it and were letting things go and letting things flow. Like most artists, they'll call it the zone, or being in the zone with something, or being in the flow. And I mean,
flow.
I know I get that.
Flow, zone. Exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about then. Because when you're in that moment, you're not thinking it through. It's just happening.
Yes. Yep.
It's like there's no delay.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Actually, we've got a couple of guests that are, we've got scheduled to be coming on the show. We've just been having a bit of a time getting them during the pandemic, but they talk exactly about that, the flow and the shift generation. I've just had somebody pop onto my Skype here, Thomas Morrison, one of our longtime listeners and participants in the forum, and an upcoming guest as well. I mentioned we've got you on the show, and he asks about empirical evidence. This is just completely unexpected, so here we go. For example, in terms of empirical evidence, Dr. Barry Taff has observed a drop in background radiation Geiger counter readings during paranormal activity. Have you noticed any kind of instrumented changes in instrumentation data or around paranormal activity? Like, do you have experience with that sort of thing at all?
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I think he's spot on. I know Barry, and Barry is, he's an amazing investigator. The guy is known, really knows his stuff. We talk every once in a while. Just a really, really knowledgeable person. And, yeah, like, this stuff, going into an investigation, first of all, is, I mean, you have to have a baseline. So, I mean, I don't work by myself when it comes to investigations, because I sure as hell don't proclaim to know half of that stuff that I need to in terms of instrumentation stuff. So we work a lot with, like, architects, nurses, people that can evaluate the environment properly. Like, my business partner, Stephanie Wirtz, when she was still alive, she was an architectural technologist. And so we did a lot of that. And when, so everything from, you know, you're looking at static levels, you're looking at, electromagnetic field levels, and you want to find out what it is on a normal day before you ever get in there and start looking for anomalies, because you have to know what's normal before you can spot a spike in readings and know what's abnormal. So, there's been quite a bit over the years of, stuff that spiked that shouldn't be, and correlations to paranormal phenomena that correspond with certain levels of things like electromagnetics and stuff like that. So, there's been a fair amount of it over the years. I don't do as many investigations anymore as what I used to. That used to be something that I was really primarily in, but now I'm kind of letting other people do that work, and I'm in the academic corner now more than I am in the field.
Hey, by the way, listeners to the PowerCast, we had Dr. Barry Taff as a guest on the show February 26th, 2012. I guess we ought to bring him back sometime.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Well, where would you like to take this now, Morgan? We've covered a lot of stuff, but I imagine that we could still go on for another hour here if we want to. Where do you think we should go with this?
That's a very good question. we have covered a lot.
Have you got any new books in the upcoming or Teaching the Living? How has that gone? Is it still doing well? And
yeah, it's been interesting over the last year because everything has shifted with the arts and performing and going out and doing, just doing talks, doing shows, doing lectures on this stuff. Everything's changed. And, so the last year has been really a cause for myself to really sit down and evaluate what is it that's next? What is Entity Seeker going to look like in a year? And that's been very hard to predict because of the rules that keep changing and especially on performers and entertainers now. So for me, the biggest thing coming up, I think is the podcast Supernatural Circumstances. I'm really excited to move into that field, of things. So that's going to be my biggest focus. Eventually I will finish a book that I've been working on now for the last couple of years called, The Silent Dreamers. And, that one is going to be about the misdiagnosis of mental illness and mediumship and things like that.
We've got to break here. More with Morgan, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, you mentioned misdiagnosis of someone presumed to be mentally ill, and I have a handicapped nephew, seriously handicapped nephew who is mentally ill. So anything that brings that concept is kind of close to home. I don't think he's involved because he's developmentally disabled very severely. But you're suggesting something not uncommon, that someone who may or may not have some kind of paranormal abilities is thought to be nuts.
Yeah, it's common, unfortunately, because as psychologists and whatnot are trained, and psychiatrists are trained, back in the day, and I think it's beginning to ease up in certain countries now, especially in places like South America, but if you were to even say in a lot of these, you know, clinics and stuff like that, that you believe that you experienced your, you know, a loved one who has passed away, or, you know, you believe that something like that's gone on, absolutely 100% immediately they would label you as not dealing with the trauma well, you're sick, there's, you know, hallucination going on, there's like just no consideration at all to the idea that paranormal phenomenon is plays a role in our everyday lives, and it can be extremely damaging to people, you know, being labeled that they're crazy, being committed when it just shouldn't be the case. And there's a lot of doctors right now and psychologists and stuff that are working to try to end this stigma. So that's what I'm hoping this book can focus around, is what they're doing, what the evidence is, and what they're looking at to draw that line in the sand.
Now, isn't it also part of the problem that a hospital is going to receive money to take in a patient who is mentally ill? And we already have, especially in the U.S., we have an incredible number of people here who are incarcerated in private prisons, not because they did anything seriously. They might be caught with some pot, which is now legal in many states. It's legal in Canada. So they're accused of a not significant crime, a minor crime, assuming they're not caught driving while intoxicated with something. And they spend this time in prison, and there are private prisons, and they make money, and I assume in the mental health field is the same thing. You bring in more bodies, you're paid for it. And it doesn't matter whether that individual deserves to be there or not. It's just too easy to get them there, and too difficult to get them out.
Yeah, I think you're touching on something that is really a prevalent problem. And when we start to look at this, the situation in hospitals and what these people are saying, and the problem is too, you know, you can have somebody who is, say for example, developmentally disabled, you know, or, you know, has a mental health issue, and then is also experiencing a like phenomenon, is also experiencing a problem, you know, it all gets chucked in one bucket. You know, that this person is just nuts, or they're crazy, or, you know, oh, we'll just put them on more medication. And we really have to start expanding our definition as to what that is. A really good example is Dr. Christine Simmons Moore, who is a like really amazing researcher. I mean, her stuff is incredible. She began to take a hard look at what they call hypnopompic and hypnagogic hallucinations, which are the hallucinations we can have either coming into sleep in that state where we're kind of half out of it, and coming out of sleep in that same sort of half awake state. And it used to be labeled as strictly hallucination, that those things that we saw, that was it, that's a hallucinatory problem. And it was all chucked into one category. And now with the current research coming out, they're realizing that not all those hallucinations actually happen in the part of the brain that causes a hallucination. They're actually perceptions. And they're starting to have to make a distinction between, well, hold on a minute, what part of this is hallucination and what part of this is somebody experiencing something because their brain is in a different state. So it's things like that that is going to change the game a lot for not only the parapsychology side, but for the medical side. And I don't think a lot of that is out there enough yet.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting, because I'm kind of a bit of an armchair science buff. I'm not really, you know, I wouldn't say I'm educated as a scientist, but when somebody sees something, their visual cortex is lit up, and it doesn't matter how they see it, right? If they imagine it,
yeah,
it's still the same thing. The only way that you can determine whether somebody is actually seeing something as a result of the stimulus response from optics is whether or not there is actually a thing out in front of them that is optically visible. So if there isn't anything optically visible, their visual cortex might be illuminated, but that doesn't mean that they're seeing something that is objectively real and separate from their own imagination.
It's true, but they're the part of the brain, say, for example, that causes a schizophrenic hallucination is different than, say, for example, if you were to observe something in real life. So there is a difference between those brain changes. So that's, I think, what they're looking at is not so much, you know, whether or not the person is reacting to visual stimulus, but the part of the brain that would be activated, for example, in a schizophrenic is going to be different than somebody that's got a healthy, what they would consider like a healthy brain. And I think that's the area that they're trying to get a handle on.
Right. What would be happening is part of their brain would be stimulating their visual cortex.
Yeah.
As opposed to something necessarily objectively real. So the conclusion that they're saying that they're seeing something that is objectively out in front of them doesn't sound like a logical conclusion to me, but then again, I'm not one of these experts. So, but I would be, that's something I would like to know more about, because that would answer the question then.
Yeah, it's like definitely, I would highly recommend reading her work. It's absolutely phenomenal. And as I say, it's really changing the face of how we're looking at this stuff.
Going back a little bit to when we were talking about this idea of the collective manifestation of the phenomenon, and this is something that one of our other guests, David Halperin, tends to advocate. He's very much of the opinion that things like UFOs and paranormal experiences are the product of a kind of collective consciousness manifestation.
Yeah, he is. And like as I've, well, being on the show with him the one time that we were all on the show together.
Right.
Which was
That was a great show. That was excellent.
That was a blast. Yeah, that was an absolute blast. Yeah, I don't think it can all be labeled that way at all, actually. Like I see where he's going with it, and I especially in that particular area, because in abductions for instance, like you have the West that describes the aliens in a very different way than even South America. So, and the descriptions of the aliens tend to be very culturally centered. Like in South America, when somebody reports an abduction experience, it very much usually is with animal looking aliens, where within the West, you've got the grays. Everybody seems to have kind of this different description, but it seems to be culturally based. So I can understand where he's coming from with some of it. You know, I think that this phenomenon is a little bit more independent than that.
More to come with Morgan, Jean, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Missouri's Attorney General says he will sue the city of St. Louis and St. Louis County for reintroducing a mask mandate for indoor public spaces. Officials announced the reinstatement on Friday, citing a spike in the number of COVID cases and hospitalizations from the disease. Attorney General Eric Schmidt said in a tweet that he'd be filing a lawsuit Monday to stop the mandate from going into effect. The largest wildfire burning in the western United States has now burnt over 400,000 acres in and around the Fremont-Winema National Forest in southern Oregon. Fire officials say that it's been 42% contained, but continued gusty winds and dry conditions have made fighting the fire difficult. And a federal court has lifted CDC restrictions on Florida-based cruise ships as the industry begins to start sailing again. A three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals is siding with a lawsuit that argued the CDC's multi-step process for returning to cruising was overburdensome on cruise lines and would harm their business. This is USA Radio News. The U.S. is offering evacuation flights from Kabul for thousands of Afghans who served our military, but just getting to Kabul may be impossible for those who live outside of the capital city. Mike Fortier reports.
The Taliban controls most of the roads in Afghanistan, so driving to Kabul is out of the question for those who live in remote areas. Even just driving to the local airport for a flight to Kabul may be too risky, and flights can be expensive. Staying in Afghanistan, though, means almost certain death. Human Rights First says people are begging for help, and dozens have reached out to the Association of War Allies looking for money for plane tickets to Kabul. A U.S. military official says we have no ability to get the Afghans to Kabul because we don't have a national military presence. Time is running out. A 33-year-old in Kandahar who worked for the U.S. military as an IT tech tells NBC News his city is surrounded and it can fall to the Taliban at any time. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, she's been coerced into appearing on After the Paracast, which is for our Paracast Plus, and now available through Spotify. Right now, as we continue talking about cultural differences of paranormal phenomena, and this is such an important point, because if all of these events are physical events, you're seeing physical aircraft, physical beings, within the normal limits of human perception, the entities seen in South America should be the same as the ones seen in Brooklyn, New York, London, Madrid, or Sydney, Australia, right?
We could even counter that, though, because, I mean, like, everybody knows, like, you know, that whole dress experiment that went around on Facebook for a while where, you know, some people were seeing the gold dress versus the blue dress and so on and so forth. So I think, like, all our perceptions can vary. Like, they can definitely vary over a period of time and over a period of people dynamic. But it's interesting to me when you get collective groups that are experiencing something very specific, like animals that are abducting people rather than grays that are abducting people. It's a big difference. You know, nobody's arguing about the fact that there is a dress. Everybody's arguing about over what color the dress is. Where if you've got multiple people that are, or multiple groups culturally that are having such a massive different experience, it's got to come into question what exactly is going on. Is this culturally driven, or is this how our perception is receiving the information and the data that we're getting? I think it's a fine line.
Really interesting. Also, to bring up something that's kind of peripherally related in terms of our perceptions and being generated by our minds is, of course, the work that Michael Persinger did. Now, there's a lot of people that are critical of his work, and yet, if you really look at the work that he did, the stuff that they're being critical about isn't relevant to every single argument against him. In other words, okay, so he thought maybe Earthlights were causing people to experience paranormal phenomena because of an electromagnetic effect. And people will say, well, there's no empirical evidence for that, and therefore he's been discredited. But that's just not fair, because this God helmet thing that he was doing with those experiments was in a lab, and it was under controlled conditions. When he was able to stimulate people's brains with specific frequencies of EM, they were having paranormal experiences that could be described as if they were very real, just as real as any other.
Yeah, and I think in his work over the years, I think the only thing I would have liked to have seen him branch into, and he passed away before this was really a thing, but is the idea of what is creating that person's perception of the event, like we were talking about with the different descriptions of aliens and stuff like that. What I've found over the years is that where people are in their heads, like their belief, their emotional state, all of that kind of dictates what they're experiencing. Like some of the people that have had, we think of these near-death experiences as always being super exciting and positive and great. But, there's been even people who have had these so-called experiences and have experienced horrible things. Like people that have believed that either, that the afterlife's terrible or, whatever's going on, or, they're really negative people. And then they have this experience and all of a sudden they come back and they're terrified because they experience these monsters and whatever. And I think it would have been interesting had he kind of taken it just one step further and started to address some of that. I think that would have been really interesting to see what would come of that.
Yes, definitely. I hope that some of his students do pick up on his research. And I've tried to get in touch with a couple of them, but they're very, very quiet. They're very hesitant to say too much because of some of the skepticism. And there's a lot of this cancel culture going on out there.
Yeah.
In the world. And if you're a grad student who's trying to get employment with that, well, it's too bad that there is still this stigmatism going on. And it's nice to know that there's people like yourself who are out there trying to dispel some of that.
Well, I think it's important, especially in the culture, like you were saying, like what we've got going on right now, where, if something doesn't fit a specific narrative, it becomes a problem or offensive or something like that. And it's been a problem, I think, in the parapsychology community for a long time, where, people sort of get railroaded or just pushed to the side as soon as something that they come out with doesn't fit exactly what either the scientific world is expecting or whatever the situation is. And we have to be able to use science as a tool, and we have to remember that it is a tool, it's not a religion. And we've got to be able to go, okay, like, if we have new information, let's look at it, let's evaluate it. And it might be something, if people would look at it long enough, that actually aids in the understanding of a theory that they've actually had. It might actually be in support of some of these things that people are harping on. So, yeah, I think people are really quick to dismiss a lot of stuff too fast, and as soon as they can't explain it or it's too far outside of their paradigm or their world paradigm, immediately it's either can't exist or it's not real. And it's like, hold on a minute, you got to really take a step back. And it's not about your ideology of what you think this is. It's more than this.
It has to be. It has to be about reasonable evidence, I would say, because we also have the flip side of the coin where it's not such a great idea to just fall into believing that it's all happening in a certain way either, rather than it isn't happening at all, because that's just as bad. Then people start looking for confirmation bias, and that's why we have people who are cemented into certain beliefs about the phenomena that's being experienced, and that it couldn't be anything else. And if you say it is, then you risk eternal damnation in the underworld.
Well, yeah, and we see this on, I think social media has become such a problem for that, because now, people are they have this way now of being able to sort of gang up on people, where before, if you were to say, for example, take, you write your paper and then you go and you present it at a lecture hall, you know, how the questions and the grilling that you're going to get at a venue like that is going to be a lot different than, you know, a bunch of trolls, you know, destroying you on Facebook and then telling everybody that you're just lying, right? And it's like, so that becomes a big issue too, is how we're moving into this, how we're moving into this, and, you know, and where we're getting that information from, I think is really crucial. Like, we've got to be able to not only, I think, back up our points and be able to say, this is, you know, this is what I've come to an understanding about, you know, this is my opinion, take it or leave it.
Right. And I think we have to be very careful here too, when we invoke science. And because science is being used as a justification for all kinds of political things that have nothing to do with science, and it's become one of those terms. Well, science says this, or some scientist said that, therefore it must be true. When if you really look at what it says, it has nothing to do with the kinds of claims that they're making. And
but on the other hand, Randall, we understand that science could be misused.
Of course.
Assuming that something is basically a theory as something that's proven fact. On the other hand, being anti-science, and anything science says, that's the man controlling it, it's the government, that's bad too, because it means that things that we accept as science in reality, and there has to be a basic science in reality for us to have a normal life, then that's being discarded too. So it's pretty difficult. When it comes to the social networks, of course, it's just an extension of the fact that people will, in a local area, run around in little groups, and they will have their own culture and everything. It could be family or just a group of friends. But what has happened with Facebook and Twitter, etc., is that these little groups can now expand over the entire world. We have more to come with Gene Randall. Morgan, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. It gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
And those listening to the Paracast for many years know that I've had groups on Facebook and Twitter try to go after me. And there's a bunch of different reasons what they're doing. But part of it is you have these groups that think they're better than everybody else, which of course is not true, and that they can get away with things like this because only in extreme cases will the social networks react, and we're not going to get into what that means. I wanted to talk to you about a few other things going on, Morgan, because we've covered such amount of material here about the stuff you're working on, the stuff you've done, and we did touch into UFOs a little bit here, getting into the theory of the collective unconscious from my old friend David Halperin, who I've known for 3,000 or 4,000 years. And that's just being conservative, of course. You know, it's before the dinosaurs ruled the earth. No, then I knew the late Brad Steiger. But seriously speaking, he's a good guy. And he's smart.
He is.
And he's not so wedded to his beliefs that he won't consider other possibilities. And anytime a UFO produces some kind of physical after effect, well, wait a minute. How does that fit in with your theory? But just talking about UFOs in general, because this has been the top topic, the Pentagon's UAP task force in the U.S., have you followed what's been going on there?
Just the fact that they were releasing documents and footage, but I haven't been closely watching it.
Well, long and short is, they said they have no proof that's E.T., but no proof it's not.
Typical government speak.
Well, part of it is what kind of proof do you expect of something like this? You have a phenomenon where it appears to be physical, these physical effects. You can see it. You can photograph it. You can track it on radar. Engages in maneuverability beyond anything that we can do. So what is it?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's funny. It always makes me laugh when I hear statements like that coming from the government, because it always reminds me of in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings when the elves were, they've always thought to be the ones that will tell you both yes and no when you ask their advice. It always reminds me of that when I hear these statements. But yeah, it becomes a matter of, you know, how much evidence is acceptable for, you know, something being extraterrestrial. And I mean, at this point, if you know, all the authorities, if the highest authorities in aviation and, you know, government projects and this, that, and the other thing are coming down and saying, you know, well, it's not ours. Well, it's got to be someone's. So who is it? Is, you know, is it somebody here? Or obviously, if it's not yours, then it's got to come from somewhere. You
but
know,
that assumes physicality. You see, all this assumes physicality.
It does.
And then we get back to David's theory. Now, if we look at David's theory, it may seem to be physical, but it is not physical. But that is way beyond anything the government would consider. You can't ask them about time travel, multiverse, or collective unconscious. It would be woo-woo land.
Well, and the government, too, is very specific when they answer questions. Like, if you read into the government speak, I have had a good friend that worked for the government here, and it was always interesting because when they would release something, she would kind of sit there and break it down and say, okay, this is what they're actually saying. And it was always, you know, things like, well, it's not this or it's not that. But they're not addressing what they might think it is. You know, they're addressing the two potential questions on the table. And if you don't ask the question past that, they're not going to give you that information. So if they turn around and say, well, it's not our aviation, you know, it's not this, well, then you haven't asked them about the next thing. You know, well, then could it be something like a time travel response or something like that, or a phenomenon? I always find it interesting that just because they're saying that on the surface doesn't necessarily, I think, mean that they don't know.
Oh, exactly. Like, I put the meme generator up for one of our posts, you know, with...
Turn on the meme machine. Hold on. The meme machine. That's the meme machine.
I put, they're not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens, right?
Yeah. Like,
before it was like, you know, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it was aliens. But in this case, it's exactly like you say, Morgan. They're basically telling us that's what's going on without telling us that's what's going on.
Yeah.
But then it would also imply you have to find a means to tell people. Do you want people to know this if this is the fact? If this is what's going on, we're being visited by ET. How then do you present that fact? Do you do it this way where it could be, it couldn't be, but we can't prove it? We don't know what it is. And hope that that's all they're going to ask. Because at some point in time, there may have to be some kind of meeting of the minds here where they're going to have to answer and give a deliberate response that they can't get away from, they can't jump away from.
It's so hard to say how they would manage something like that because we saw kind of a microcosm of that go on when they... been really messing up, in my opinion, how handling the last couple of years. So I don't even know if they are ready to have that conversation, not with the public, but even with themselves. You see crazy things that have come up over the last number of years, these public fiascos and whatever, and just dealings with themselves, like dealing with other countries, dealing with the governments within themselves. It makes me wonder whether they would deal with this in a way that was appropriate and that they would be coming forward to the public and telling them that this was aliens or not aliens or whatever. I don't know if they are ready for that conversation. I mean, they've had enough trouble admitting to some of the atrocities that have gone on over the last number of years. It's going to be interesting to see what they do if they come and address it at all.
Well, I have this other theory that if Roswell involved the crash of a spaceship, and I'm skeptical for many reasons, but okay, so that's the answer. They would have secreted that thing away in a hangar somewhere, buried it, and wouldn't want to get into it because they couldn't understand it. What are we going to do with this? Think about it. The best scientists on the planet, confronted with technology that may be hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us. What are we going to do with this? How do we handle it? And the response is, handle what?
Yeah.
And maybe that's the only answer. It's just like the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they locate the Ark of the Covenant. What are they going to do with it? How are they going to handle that? They stick it in a dusty warehouse somewhere because there's no other way to handle it. And maybe that explains why, for example, we have this Pentagon UAP task force dealing with 144 cases, some odd cases. What are all the cases that have been reported since 1947 or before 1947? What happened to them? What happened to them is not necessarily a deep, dark secret or a silence group keeping the truth about UFOs being spaceships in a little locker somewhere, or five people know about it. It is what we don't know anything about that. That didn't happen. If it didn't happen, we don't have to deal with it. And that's the thing. The bureaucrat wants to deal with something that fits in category A. One from column A, one from column B, one from column C. Column Z, we haven't a clue. We have always a clue when Morgan Knudsen joins us. Tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
You can find me on entityseeker.ca. Everything from spiritual healthcare to my live shows and all that are on there, as well as upcoming live events. You guys can check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/entityseeker. I'm there as well. Subscribe to that. It would be great. And soon you'll be able to find me on Supernatural Circumstances, the podcast with my co-host Mike Brown.
Wow. So many places. You can find us on Twitter. Look for the PowerCast. Look for the PowerCast on Facebook. Look for branded merchandise featuring PowerCast logos, custom logos from J. Randall Murphy and more. Go to the PowerCast.shop. The PowerCast.shop, place your order, t-shirts. Some, by the way, we do have the triple X sizes for those who are a little bit bigger than us. Okay? We also have the PowerCast Plus. That's a special service where we include the PowerCast in an ad-free format without the network ads. The After the PowerCast podcast, where Morgan's going to return for further discussions. You can go to the PowerCast.plus for more information. And now for U.S. subscribers only, you can also subscribe to the PowerCast Plus on a monthly basis with over 700 episodes available on Spotify. But still in the U.S., we're hoping later on it'll be elsewhere around the world, but right now in the U.S. on Spotify, or go to the PowerCast.plus. Morgan Knudsen, you're so much fun to be with. We're so happy to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us on the PowerCast.
Thank you, guys. I love it, too. So let's do it again.
PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.